Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So the Chiefs beat the Chargers 24-17 last night in Mexico City. Patrick Mahomes looked mortal with only 182 yards and one touchdown. But on the other side of the ball, Philip Rivers had a night he'd probably like to forget. Guys, Rivers tied his career high with four interceptions, including one in the end zone with 24 seconds left that sealed the victory for Kansas City. The loss put the Chargers at 4-7 and likely out of the playoff race. Rivers will be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. So, Shannon, is it time for the Chargers to move on from Philip Rivers?
Yes. Skip, for me, sports is really comes down to two things. Either you're an asset or you're a liability. Simple as that. Right now, Philip Rivers is a liability. If you look at in their seven losses, Skip, he has 14 turnovers. You remember the last time we saw Philip Rivers, it was a Thursday night. He threw a pick six to the Raiders. He threw another pick that set him up for a touchdown, and then he threw an interception to end the ball game. And what did he just do? When Kansas City couldn't get anything going. Now, there's one pick, Skip, the one that Honey Badger got him on. Honey Badger would have got almost every quarterback in the league because he faked the over, and then he picked the end cut. So I give him that one. Philip, that one's on Honey Badger made a heck of a play because sometimes the defense, they get played also. But there are several of those interceptions that are unacceptable. That one to end the game, what the hell was that? Did you not see that guy? Did you not see? There are a lot of guys on the field, Philip. And the guys that doesn't have on your colors, you can't throw them the ball to get a touchdown. You can, but it goes on their side. He threw one right down the middle. Honey Badger should have had another one, Skip. He threw a punt, and Honey Badger, I don't know what happened. As good a hands as he has.
Hit him right in the hands.
And he dropped it.
It was too easy.
It was too easy. Mm-hmm. Skip, all of their losses have come in with one score. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in. One score. Uh-huh. And in those games, Philip Rivers has 14 turnovers, four interceptions. It's just, look, and I get it. And we keep talking about, you know, Tom Brady's getting on up there in age. Mm-hmm. But guess who else is getting on up there in age, Skip? That guy. Mm. Now, he has a classmate that was taking a couple of slots before him that's already been assigned a seat on the bench. That's Eli Manning.
Yep.
He has another classmate that's on IR, Ben Roethlisberger, because of an elbow. May or may not be contributed to age. But Philip Rivers don't have a lifetime contract to start. I mean, what if he won that says, oh, Philip Rivers gets to stay as long as he won? Yeah, he's compiled a lot of numbers. But Skip, he hasn't won the big game. I mean, remember he was 14-2? Now, you're like, well, Philip Rivers, yes, he did. Philip Rivers had LT, who is the MVP in his backfield, that's in the Hall of Fame, has a gold jacket like myself. He has a tight end, Antonio Gates, that the process started because he's not in the league this year. Mm-hmm. 4 years from now, he's gonna be in the Hall of Fame. And you remember, Skip, they had that defense. They were 14-2. Mm-hmm. And they allowed the wild card Patriots to come to their home, kick their butts. That happened. Mm-hmm. So this notion that Philip Rivers hasn't had anything is not true. Philip Rivers has underperformed a lot in really big games. Mm. And what he's doing right now, I think the thing is why it won't happen, because the Chargers are going into a new building. Mm. And now their backup is Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go into that new building with Philip Rivers or Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah.
And then, I'm looking at Philip, I'm like, what the hell are you seeing? Because I watched the game Thursday night, Skip. I'm like, Philip, this is all. I said, well, you know what? Maybe it's a one-off.
Yeah.
But I also watched him against the Broncos. Mm. And that was, he turned the ball over at an alarming rate. He got 16 turnovers. Mm. 14 picks and two fumbles. Fumble last night, got it back. Skip, it's time for him to take a seat.
Mm.
You got to go to the back of the class. I mean, you sitting in the front of the class. Nah, it's time for you to go to the back. We ain't calling on you anymore for a while.
My turn.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get to Mr. Rivers and your opinion of Mr. Rivers, quick thought on Patrick Mahomes. He threw for a grand total in the first half of 63 yards passing.
Okay.
63 yards passing. If Dak Prescott ever in his life even thought about throwing for only 63 yards in a first half, I would never hear the end of it from across the table on Undisputed.
Yeah, but stop
Point
it.
Of order.
Stop playing.
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
63 yards how passing.
Many, how many general managers right now would take Dak Prescott over Mahomes, boy? Mm. How many?
You know what? That it could be growing more than you think.
Skip, he still you do realize he's still leading the league in yard, passing yards per game. He missed 2.5 games. Mm. You know the only reason that Dak Prescott has more passing yards than Patrick Mahomes, boy, is because he sat it down for 2.5 games. But don't, hey, he going to come back like game, but I wouldn't be surprised if when it's all said and done, he leading the league again.
Last night, Dak Prescott's lead in QBR over Patrick Mahomes grew a little bit because Patrick Mahomes had a 70. Not bad. I thought it was a little, like, little much, like it was a little over.
Oh, you thought it was generous. Oh, you thought it was generous.
Yeah,
okay, I figured you
generous.
Would.
Yep. But still, it's 82.0 to 79.7. Dak running away now with QBR.
Oh, he running away.
Way to go, Dak.
We'll see.
Now, back
Coach
to Philip Rivers.
Coach Belichick is the QBR killer, though.
So, last night in Mexico City, Philip Rivers threw for almost twice as many yards as Mahomes boy threw for. Almost twice as many.
Twice.
That's hard to do, man. 353 to 182.
Yep.
But Shannon Sharp says, go take a seat, right?
Yes.
Okay, I cannot defend the turnovers, because only there's only one bigger turnover machine now in pro football, and that's Jameis.
Jameis.
I mean, I just don't even know what's happened to him. I used to support him and defend him, but
you
it's hard to defend
him
anymore.
You can't.
Because he's running away with the interception lead.
He got 18.
He got 18 to Phillip's 14. Philip Rivers is simply the most confounding, perplexing, tormenting quarterback I have ever closely observed.
Yes.
Because he will have moments of greatness and moments of pathetic, like last night, where you just say, what are you doing? He has the greenest light to try everything possible to get that team over the hump, when a lot of times it doesn't need everything
possible. It's not necessary.
Possible.
Right.
But he will try anything at any moment. And the great irony last night was he was taking advantage of Daniel Sorensen as number 49. Where's 49? I'm going to throw it to his guy. Until the last play, when Sorensen's, I don't know what he is, 6'1"-ish, and little Austin Eckler's about, what, 5'8", maybe? What are you doing?
How did he even see him?
What are you doing? Because it was like Daniel Sorensen was primary on the play, right? Like, you're throwing it to him. Maybe if you threw a rainbow to the very back corner, maybe little Austin could run under it at the end line. I don't know.
Right.
But it looked like Sorensen just was all over it. And he's so much bigger than little Austin Eckler. There's no way you're going to get the ball over him.
Right.
And the game just suddenly ended after Philip had made the big throw to Mike Williams.
Right.
It was a little bit of a pass and a prayer into double coverage, but
That's what he get, because Williams did not get out of bounds. The guy touched him before he got out of bounds, and they stopped the clock.
They got a break.
Yes!
But Philip can be pretty crazy clutch in some moments. And I'm going to remind everybody, it was just last December 13th, so it's been less than a year ago, on a Thursday night at Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what happened at the end of the game? Mm. He went 60 yards in 8 plays and threw a touchdown pass to win it, and then goes for two and pulled that one off. And they pulled it out 29-28.
Yep.
Would you have sent him home after that game? No, obviously he wouldn't.
Skip, he has the big.
Okay, remember last year they went 12-4, went to Baltimore against a young Lamar, rookie Lamar, and won the game.
After they had lost to Baltimore in L.A.
They had. And then, obviously, you know the rest of the story, because they then went to Foxborough, and that was the end of that deal.
Right.
But still, 12-4 was a pretty good year.
Right.
And so, to your point, they've lost 4 games by 7 points this year, 2 by 3 points, and 1 game by 2 points. So all 7 losses are close.
What's
they're all more? Winnable games.
Yes.
But the reason they were in the games, you can credit Philip for that. And the reason they lost the games, you can definitely blame him for that.
Right.
So I can't defend him, but I just have this nagging little voice in the back of my head, it's too soon, it's premature just to dismiss him completely, because he still has his moments. Just 3 weeks ago at home against Aaron Rodgers, he hugely outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And they won 26-11. Well, we haven't seen any consistency like that.
Right.
But he gave you another glimpse of, oh, I can still do that.
Well, I think it was a couple of years ago, Skip, I think he threw for 500 yards against Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau. So he... Skip, you don't throw for the amount of yards and have the amount of touchdown. This was as talented a quarterback class, the 04 draft, is that we're seeing. It gets compared favorably to 83. the Marino Elway Kelly draft.
And there were times last night when they just went up and down the field.
Yes.
Up and down and up
but
and down.
But see, that's what makes you so upset with him. Because you see what he can be, and he just Eckler and Williams and Hunter, Hunter Henry, the tight end.
Yep.
I mean, he's going boom, 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 and then he throw like Phillip. What the hell?
I don't know.
You just hit the other guy right in the chest for what? Skip. He didn't have to skip. He had plenty of time. Why would you throw it? What made you think that guy was open? There's nothing to hold a flat. Now I can see Russell got fooled. Russell thought 57 was going to jump the guy in the flat,
And
he peeled back and picked it.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, there's nothing to hold a guy in the flat. So all he's going to just do is receding because he sees the running back coming up the rail. Phillip, you looking at him. You see 49 backpedaling. And you still throw it? I can see if the guy's 6'4", you're going to make it a jump ball. But you want a jump ball with a 6'1", a DB versus a 5'7", running back.
That's what it was. Okay.
Well, unless the running back's Spud Webb, I ain't throwing no jump ball to a 5'7 running back.
So, does Philip Rivers have a shot to get in your Hall of Fame? I think he does.
I think he does, too.
Wow.
But I'm all about rings, and he ain't got one.
Yeah.
And he probably will go down as, you could argue, the best quarterback never to win a ring?
No, Marino.
Okay, well, I guess
Yeah. Yeah.
Except I think a Dan at least get it.
You're talking about not getting it.
How about just get to it?
Yeah, yeah. He, Warren, Skip, because here's the thing. Like, Marino has 104. I saw the stat he had on the screen last night. Marino has 147 wins without a Super Bowl. Fran Tarkenton has 124, and Phillip has 122.
22 and 97 losses. 5-6 in the postseason, got to the one AFC championship game after he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
So he played on a torn ACL at Foxborough with LaDainian Thomas.
And remember, Skip, when he tore that, he went to Indy.
Peyton, he outplayed him.
Yes.
He outplayed him. I mean, he's got guts.
But you don't want it to end like this.
Skip, because guess what, Skip? This get coaches fired.
Yeah.
His play will get a coach fired.
Yeah.
Well, your friend, who is the coach,
I saw that tweet.
He had to be sick after that.
And plus, you get punt returners catching the ball over their shoulder at the 2-yard line and fumbling it. Lucky they got it back. But Aileen was like, "Bro, what you doing?
Yep.
Put your heels on the 10. If it goes over your head, they doubt it at the 1 or the 2. So be it. But you don't catch no ball over your." Yeah, but see, when you start trying to play hero ball, everybody want to be a hero. I'm going to catch it over my shoulder and go 92.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't. You gave up 7.
Maybe the altitude was the problem?
Yeah, maybe.
It does have an impact on your brain, you're thinking.
It truly is.
But hold on. He threw 3 interceptions below sea level. So what was that excuse?
There is no excuse there. I'm just trying to help the guy out. I've covered matches there, and it is a crazy difference.
And they had that graphic on ESPN where it's like 10 times higher than Mile High.
Yeah. It's way
different.
Like
I said, because they trained in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
They were down in Colorado Springs for the week.
Unfortunately, maybe the age and there's a factor there. I don't know. I'm going to have to do some research.
That's why I was in such great shape. I used to go down to Colorado Springs. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure you just fine all over the place.
No mercy. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute, protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting. That's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com.
No mercy. New England has only scored 3 touchdowns in the past 2 games, a fact that's not lost on Tom Brady, who expressed his concern on a weekly radio appearance yesterday. Take a listen.
It's just frustration with the offense, and we're just trying to grind them out. You know, I'm happy we went on the road. You know, at the same time, you know, just wish we'd score more points. You know, as crazy as it sounds, we're still kind of a relatively new, you know, getting familiar with each other on offense. You know, the strength of our team is our defense and our special teams. So on offense, we've just got to take advantage when we get opportunities and, you know, understand where our strengths lie and try to play to them. You know, not give any short fields and not turn the ball over and try to take advantage when we get into the red area to score touchdowns. That's kind of where our offense is. That's kind of where our team is.
All right, Shannon, what does it tell you that Brady is expressing his frustration publicly?
Yeah, tell me a lot, Skip Bailey. I mean, you say things privately.
Yeah.
But to say that public, uh-huh. that you understand that your athletic mortality. Skip Bailey, you're funny how. It's funny how me, even Tom Brady, can see what Pro Football Focus and Skip Bayless can't. Mm-hmm. He knew, Skip. It was reported that he became very, very upset when the Patriots let Antonio Brown go. Because as you start, he realized that he needed more pieces around him in order for him to continue to be the great player, be that guy that he wants to be. Because the hardest thing for great players, Skip, is to all of a sudden not be great anymore. That's tough. When you've been as great as long as he has, because trust me, he's been greater longer than he has not been great. Mm-hmm. But Tom Brady just can't carry an offense anymore, Skip Bayless. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I know a guy named Peyton Manning. Went through the very same thing, didn't he, Skip Bayless? Mm. You remember that? Special teams and defense. Mm. Peyton Manning was a 5-time league MVP. Mm-hmm. Had gone to 2 Super Bowls, had won one, and was the MVP. Mm. Had all the... But at the end of the day, when it came down to it, they relied on Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware and D. Wolf and that Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. Mm-hmm. They relied on that and sound special teams to get to and to win the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady uttered it. And for the very first time, Skip Bayless, since they won that first Super Bowl, because that's what the formula was. Defense, special teams, Tom got us. What Peyton did, Skip, in the playoffs, there were every game, there were a few throws that needed to be made. And I'm not so sure Brock Osweiler could have made those throws. There were a couple of plays that that Peyton Manning got out of a good play and got to a great play. Or got out of a bad play and got us to a play that didn't get negative yards. It got us back to the line of scrimmage. Well, Tom Brady is going to have to – that's the route, Skip, that he's going to have to go moving forward. But I tell you, I know a guy that doesn't give a damn about Pro Football Focus, analytics or anything. Bill Belichick saw this a couple of years ago.
Mm.
He saw this.
Really?
Yeah.
And then he should have won 2 Super Bowls after he saw that.
Because you know what? He said, you see what that guy did Sunday? Mm. That guy Jimmy G? That's the guy. Because Skip Bayless came out here that Monday night. He came out here Tuesday and say, people at home, Bill Belichick wanted to play Tom Brady with Jimmy G. Mm. And then he said on Sunday, Coach Belichick said, you see what Coach Belichick said yesterday? He got back at Lane Johnson. See, it seemed like everybody was having fun out there. Because remember, Lane Johnson said, Patriots don't have any fun. I'd rather win
what he said after the game.
Yeah. And Coach Belichick said, look like everybody was having fun out there to me. Yo, Coach Belichick trolling.
By the way, the Jimmy G I saw on Sunday threw 2 red zone interceptions that almost lost a game to little Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals in San Francisco. That's what I saw.
I saw 424.
Be my guest. Please, San Francisco, give him back to Belichick and let him go forward and see how many
that?
He wins.
Yeah, I bet, hold on.
See how quickly he misses the greatest quarterback who ever walked on a football
field. 424.
Yeah.
That's what he had.
So, I'm going to be objective about this before I get
to
the guts of what I'm about to say. I was disappointed last 2 days in Tom Brady.
Why?
Because these were rare glimpses of selfishness from him. Rare me-ism from Tom Brady that I've rarely, if ever, seen.
I know, but I told you he had it in him.
They did win the football game.
They did. In spite of him.
In spite of him.
In spite.
How many turnovers did he have?
Help None.
Oh, he had no turnovers.
How many touchdowns did he have? Him.
So they scored enough, 17, right?
Yeah. Julian Edelman had a perfect QBR. I mean, a perfect quarterback rating.
Yep.
Yeah, old Julius.
So I consider Tom Brady the greatest leader in sports today, and you can make a case he's the greatest leader ever. But I did not love his body language during the football game because I did not see that Psycho Tom fire, that win at all costs, that however we have to grind it out, let's go. Let's go do it.
Yeah, what was that?
I wanted to see excitement after the game. I wanted to see a joy, a victory at any cost. Whatever it took to grind it out, they ground it out. It's a big win. It's a nice win. Got them to 9-1. 9-1? Tom's hanging his head.
Well, cause you know it hurts. Skip, you gotta understand. That's Tom bleeping Brady, and he's not Tom bleeping Brady right now. Okay. How do you handle that?
This is just me, but I believe something is going on behind the scenes. I believe once again Tom is at odds with Bill. The last time we saw Tom at odds with Bill was after that Super Bowl that Belichick blew for Tom Brady.
Stop saying that.
By not playing Malcolm Butler. By giving up 41 points to the Eagles' backup quarterback. And Brady was clearly steamed because he's liking all of Malcolm's posts the next day. And it was clear from a Jim Gray interview he did at a conference out here on the West Coast in Santa Monica, which happened in late April that year. Remember Jim Gray asked him, do you feel appreciated? Do you feel they've given you the appropriate gratitude within the Patriot organization? And he said, Brady said, I plead the fifth. Are you happy? Asked Jim Gray. And he said, I have my moments. Well, that's the same guy that we heard the last 24, 48 hours.
Yeah.
That guy's not happy with what's going on internally. Now, that guy believes that his coach has not gotten him enough help on offense because this is a pathetic supporting cast around Tom Brady.
Why is it?
If I had thrown the great Patrick Mahomes, the reigning MVP, into that Patriot offense at Philly in the cold, gusty wind on Sunday, I promise you, Patrick Mahomes would have lost that game.
Nah.
He would have thrown two picks, maybe three. I might go three there because it was a long, hard day with no protection and no running game. Throwing to Jacoby Myers? Are you kidding me? So I'm going to drive this home to you. Tom Brady has now thrown to more receivers in a single season this year than he ever has in any season of his whole career. Why is that, Mr. Sharp? Because he lost Gronk, and they tried to replace him with Matt LaCosse and Ryan Izzo, and both of them immediately got hurt.
Yeah.
So they had to call back Ben Watson, 38 years of age, you be the tight end. Then A.B., momentarily, Tom happy, Tom sad. And then Josh Gordon, Brady took him under his wing, and it looked like he was going to be a difference maker, and maybe for a little while he was. And then Belichick cut him, and you said he looks like he's running with the piano on his back.
He caught two good slants for 49ers, though.
N'Keal Harry, first-round pick, first time in New England. Bill Belichick took a receiver in the first round. Way to go, Bill! Hurt on IR all year. That was the first game he had played on Sunday. Tom Brady has thrown to 17 different receivers, including Gunnar Olszewski. Mm-hmm. Gunnar Olszewski? Tom Brady's having to throw to that? Jacoby Myers, undrafted free agent rookie out of North Carolina State. Are you kidding me?
He's a quarterback.
And the essence, he played quarterback.
Yeah.
Some, he also played receiver. But the essence of Sunday's frustration came down to a route fairly late in the game. It was second 11 from the New England 41 with 11:21 left in the game. They're up 17-10, trying to put it away. But here's Jacoby Myers, who Brady thinks is going to outcut, and he in-cuts. And Brady just looks up and just subtly just shakes his head like, what is going on? I'm having to throw it to Jacoby Myers, who went the wrong way. So Brady has made mention in the last 48 hours of, we're all still new to this.
Yeah.
Brady's a reps guy. Brady will go out after practice for another hour. If you want to catch more passes, I'll throw you more passes until we get on a wavelength. There's only one receiver. I could throw James White in, but really only one. It's sort of Julian Edelman or bust right now. What can you imagine Tom Brady last night watching that game from Mexico City and thinking, If you gave me Tyreek, if you gave me Kelsey is a monster.
Yes.
He is like 6'5 and can run and escape and run after catch and make athletic leaping catches. Yep. Well, he doesn't have that guy. Does he have a Sammy? He doesn't have Sammy Watkins. Does he have a Mecole Hardman? Mecole Hardman is just a little bursty bullet.
He can fly.
Right? Just flies.
But see, if Tom Brady had all those weapons, he wouldn't be Tom Brady. Because see, what you do is that when Tom Brady wins, it's all Tom. Now you're telling me because he's struggling, it's because of what Tom doesn't have. But when he wins with those same people, it's all Tom.
Okay.
Well, you can't have it both ways.
You have to give him 2.5 seconds to throw because Marshall Newhouse is the left tackle on his seventh NFL team. He couldn't block anybody on Sunday. So Tom's having to escape the pocket, and he can't throw on the run. Never could throw on the run. They're having to roll him, or he's having to try to duck and run.
The pocket. Yeah.
And it won't work. And he knows it won't work, so it's driving him crazy because he's down to his backup center and his, like, third-string left tackle until Isaiah Wynn comes back at a left tackle maybe for the Cowboy game. So it's driving him crazy. He's a raging perfectionist without any help around him.
Skip, when the realization, in your private moments, there are moments as my career started to wane down. It dawned on me that I wasn't the same guy anymore, but I would never verbalize that publicly. Mm. Tom Brady basically is telling you, Skip, I need help. I'm not the guy. Because it used
Shannon,
to...
he always needed something.
No, he didn't. No, but you didn't. That's not what you're saying. Just imagine if he had this, if he'd have had that. The same people that he's throwing to, that when they lose, he needs help. But you never talk about the help he needs when he wins.
I always tell you he's doing it with virtually nothing.
Okay, well,
three
keep
guys
doing
from
it.
Dorchester.
Well, keep doing it.
Well, at some point in Philadelphia against that ferocious front seven of theirs, it's just hard. The wind's gusting, and you can't find anybody who's open. Mohamed Sanu, you've been the first to say, he doesn't look like he's got much separation speed, right?
Oh, they got a smaller Josh Gordon.
Okay.
That's what he is.
All right, thank you. They're 24th in rushing right now. It won't work. It's just hard to score.
Whoa. Huh. That was amazing. It's amazing that teams shut down the run and say we want Tom to beat us throwing the ball.
Is that what you're saying?
Hold on. Because, see, what happened is that everybody forgot the last half of the season. Mm. And everybody forgot the Super Bowl. But they go back. Did you see him? He got 3 third-and-10s, which is unheard of. We talk about the Kansas City, but he struggled down the stretch, Skip. Mm-hmm. He struggled in the Super Bowl, Skip. Mm. He's struggling now.
Struggling overtime at Kansas City?
See?
Well, come on.
Skip.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Have you ever seen anything in the Super Bowl from an all-time great quarterback?
Did he not pull off the game-winning drive? Game-winning drive. He won the game.
Skip, found a way.
Skip, you're making my point.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Really? So after the first three games this year, Pro Football Focus ranked Tom Brady number one.
Yes.
Gave it the best grade among quarterbacks.
Yes.
Now Shannon Sharp is saying in concrete that Tom Brady woke up, washed up.
No.
After three games. Skip. Woke up, washed up.
No.
The new wash king in the NFL is Tom Brady. He should start using the hashtag washed king.
Yeah.
Right?
Hold on. This is also, Pro Football Focus says Tom Brady has played the seventh best quarterback this year.
Wow.
That's actually pretty good.
They said he's played better than Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Skip Bayless. You and I both know. If you're a Patriot fan, you can't say he's outplayed Dak Prescott.
Okay, who has the bigger degree of difficulty, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes?
Either you're playing well or you're not.
Degree of difficulty.
Hey. Let me ask you a question. Give Pat Mahomes that defense. What could Pat Mahomes do if they got him 2 to 3 turnovers every game? Look at Pat Mahomes' numbers with that defense.
Give Patrick Mahomes the New England offense and watch his numbers plummet.
Okay, give me – I just want Coach Belichick. You ain't got to give me nothing. Give me Coach Belichick and let Coach Belichick go grocery shopping for me. That's what I want. Mm. I just want Bill Belichick, and I want him to be able to go shopping for me.
I can just hear Patrick Mahomes after game saying – all I got's little underneath option routes to Julian Edelman?
No.
What? I want to throw it down the field.
Frustration is coming from somewhere.
Exactly. But the fact of the matter is, if anybody can go on record and say Tom Brady, through 10 games, has played the seventh best quarterback in the NFL, better than Sean. That's what they're saying, Skip Bayless. Mm. You know that. They say he's playing better than Dak. He's playing better than Dak? I'm going to get you on record. Mm. Hold on. Put the camera on him. Let him get his camera. Mm. Say it. Say Tom Brady's playing better than Dak Prescott this year.
He will play better than
Dak on Sunday. No. Well, tell me right now.
We're going to see it.
Well, obviously he's not.
Pro Football Focus said he's playing better than Dak.
Would I take him over Dak going forward through the rest of the year? Yes, I would.
Pro Football Focus said Tom Brady has outplayed Dak Prescott, Pat Mahomes, and D. Watson.
Okay.
That's it.
So, you betting against Tom Brady the rest of the way? They're going to miss the playoffs? What are they going to do?
That's good.
I want to know.
Oh,
I'm putting you on record.
All I said is...
Yeah.
All I said is he has to play the
seventh best quarterback. I heard you say yesterday, well, you can't. But if they don't go all the way down the stretch,
yeah.
It's not a success.
Yeah.
It's not a success.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we're so used to him controlling the narrative and the positivity. This is coming from somewhere.
Well, when you get old, you can't.
There's more brewing.
You can't control that narrative over Father Time.
Ah, okay.
Shannon Sharpe said Tom Brady's old, over the hill, washed up.
That dude, Father
Time. On the record. On the record.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
No mercy. So the Cowboys are coming off a big win against the Lions despite only 45 rushing yards from Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke has underwhelmed this year after getting his big payday before the season started. Elliott is not in the top five in rushing touchdowns or rushing yards through the first 11 weeks of the season for the first time in his career. So, Reggie, how do you explain what has happened to Ezekiel Elliott?
Well, when you get the bag, all eyes on you.
Right?
When you get that bag, all the eyes on you.
Yeah.
Not only just from viewership, the critics, but also from, I think, from an opposition standpoint too, right? Because I think the narrative has always been with the Cowboys to have success against them, you want to stop Zeke first, right? But now that he's also got the bag too, now the pressure's on top, right? Everybody's focusing on him. And so the one stat that I look at is that is telling is yards after contact, because that's been the thing that Zeke has been known for. You talk about his body lean and how he runs with the best body lean you've ever seen.
Yep.
But the other thing he does well is he breaks tackles. Mm-hmm. And it's yards after contact. And last year he led the league with 949. This year he's eighth with 566.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the one thing I've always looked at and said that for a running back, and we have short careers in this league, anytime you start to lose whatever that superpower is, you know, that's when people's eyes start to really focus in on, you know, what it is that you're doing, you're not doing right, and that's the yards after contact. I'm not saying he's not doing it right, but he's not producing as much, right? Mm-hmm. And breaking the tackles, the body lean, that's the thing that I've always looked at as Zeke as being special. And that's his superpowers on top of not getting injured, because he is extremely, extremely durable.
He
for
is.
A back that takes that many hits, that gets that many carries,
that
right? He is the workhorse week in and week out. And we're going on year four now of that kind of contact and that many carries. And so let me say this, it is hard as hell to stay at the top in the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
And it is
At what time in your career, what year did you suddenly wake up one day and say, man, I just can't take the hits anymore. I'm losing some of my explosives.
I think it was after my second year in Detroit. So this might have been year 7 or 8. And I got injured. I was dealing with a high ankle sprain, because the year before that, me and Joique Bell had set records for the most yards produced from a running back duo standpoint. But after that last year in Detroit is when I really started to notice from the high ankle sprain injury that I just wasn't recovering as fast, right? I wasn't bouncing back as fast as I normally do. And that's when I started to notice where I started to take a little bit of a decline in my career.
Right.
Well, it happens. I mean, you start to get dinged a little more, and the dings, they start to last a little longer because you can't come back as quick. Skip, you get hurt one game, and you're like, by Wednesday, Thursday, they give you Wednesday off. By Thursday, you start to feeling better. And then Friday, you're like, man, I'm good to go. And then all of a sudden, Wednesday, Thursday, leg of Friday, you're like, hell, I'm missing a whole week. I'm missing a whole week of practice. I'm just playing and not even practice, just playing and playing.
Yeah.
Skip, but I still believe that if Dak can continue to play the way he's playing, you'll see Zeke numbers revert back, because they're going to have to start playing coverage, and they're going to have to, like, okay, we got to get pressure on the quarterback. Right now, Dak is having time to throw the football because they're holding in there because they don't want Zeke to run. Just like all these analytics and next-gen stats, teams have these also. And what the stats have shown for the first 3 years is that if you can control Zeke, you can control the Cowboys' offense. Well, Dak is doing a great job of destroying that narrative, because what we've seen is that Zeke hasn't been Zeke, and they've still been able to win games. But it's going to take him, Skip, doing against playoff-caliber teams for him to really convince teams that Dak has arrived in that area and that he can carry the Cowboys. I mean, doing it against The Giants and Washington, the Dolphins. Yeah. Nah, the Lions. Nah, you ain't gonna miss nobody. Mm. You ain't gonna miss nobody you've arrived.
Yeah.
Do it against the Saints. Mm. Do that thing against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Do it against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Or Seattle.
About Dak or Zeke?
I'm talking about Dak.
Okay.
I'm talking about Dak because when you can control Zeke, for the next gen stats and the analytics says if you can control Zeke, you can control the Cowboys. Mm. And what we've seen is that we haven't seen a whole lot. We've seen one game here or there because even though they bottled up Zeke against Green Bay, they did lose. Yeah. He threw 4-3, they lost. Mm. Even though he threw for a ton of yards against the Jets, they lost.
Yeah. And so, even in those games that you're talking about,
yeah,
the Saints, the Vikings, the Packers, they lost all those games, right?
Yeah.
Those were the games where Zeke was held to under 100 yards rushing.
Yeah. Mm. So Detroit, you know, holding them ridiculous Detroit, because what we see against Minnesota. He had an opportunity against Minnesota. What'd he do?
Mm. What did who do? You mix me up with all
Dak.
Your who's.
Dak.
Yeah.
Dak.
Dak played maybe his best game of the year against the Vikings, and the ball got taken out of his hands at the end of the game. That's why they lost. Or it would have been 31-28 Dallas.
But it
would
have been.
Kirk Cousins was going to drive him back down the field.
Cousins been playing great.
I've been saying this for a month on this show, and I'm doubling down today. I'm horrified by what I don't see from Ezekiel Elliott after he got $50 guaranteed million to sign. Once upon a time, when you got drafted second overall, you got a bag, but it wasn't like this bag, right?
I didn't get 50 guaranteed.
No, 50 guaranteed.
We got 50.
He is by far the highest paid running back in the league.
Yeah.
And going to Detroit, I'm thinking, please snap out of it. Whatever funk you're in, slump you're in, if it's this or that, something off field, just snap out of it.
Mm.
Detroit was ranked 26th in stopping the run.
Yeah.
Zeke went 16 times for a grand total of 45 yards. Do the math on that. That's less than 3 yards a carry.
It is.
It won't work.
Nope.
Especially when 11 times you get fed the ball on first and 10. 11 times on first down, they said, here, do this.
Skip, everybody, everybody knows that's a run down.
Yeah.
You better throw that ball.
Yeah.
The stats are screaming something is wrong or different about Zeke. I think something's wrong here. I don't know. The picture is screaming to me. My TV is screaming to me.
Yeah.
Ain't right.
Uh-oh.
Not who you used to be, because I used to see him attack defenses with this supreme athletic arrogance of, I'm just better than y'all, you know what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of y'all. I'll just run over and through all of you. He did it for 3 years. He didn't do it for 1 year. He did it for three. He would have led the league in rushing 3 straight years if not for a 6-game suspension in year 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I saw contagious rage that would turn into just dominating joy when he reached the end zone, and he would just howl to the heavens and do this because he was dominating pro football. Now he looks like he's plodding in Cabo San. He looks like he's lost his edge, his confidence. You hand it to him and he's tiptoeing to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. I'm like, just body lean him. Just explode up into the hole. Because you used to carry people for 5, 6, 7 yards. But I'm not seeing that guy anymore.
But you
and
see,
what horrifies me is, did Jerry overpay at a time when his shelf life was starting to expire? It's possible. Well,
let me say this, because when I got to Detroit, going back to the same narrative, I had Scott Linehan. Scott Linehan recruited me to Detroit. Scott Linehan runs the ball really, really well.
All right.
Right.
Well, that's who he
now,
was his coordinator for 3 years.
And that's who he had for those 3 years.
Right,
he was leading
fair.
The league,
good
right?
Good point.
So I wonder how much of that he's affected by the new offensive coordinator, the new game plan. Are they running those same type of runs? Because what you're saying to me is that he got the ball on first down 11 times in that game. Everybody knows that's a rundown. And so if you think that's
they've
predictable.
They've known it for 3 years and so, they just fed the beast for 3 years and they couldn't stop him.
Is it becoming too predictable?
You could argue, except his carries are actually up this year from last year under Scott Linehan. He's 194 through 10 games versus 191 through 10 last
I will
year.
Say this. It's not about how many carries you get. It's about the efficiency of those carries.
Has the offensive line lost its edge? I don't know.
Skip, they're
run blocking?
You know they're not as dominant as they once were.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen more times than not the opposition
I'll
control the line of scrimmage.
They appear to be pass blocking a little better than their run blocking. Right?
Yeah.
So, again, sometimes, this is just, I'm doing deep psychology here. Sometimes you get paid like you never thought you'd ever get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You lose just a little bit of edge, drive, commitment, whatever that little thing is in the back of your mind. And I'm going to throw this out because it's been a recurring theme with this young man. He's had all kinds of off-field issues. Is there something behind the scenes that's troubling him we don't know about? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't look hurt to me. Yeah. He's never on an injury report to your durability point.
Right. Okay. Yep.
He's incredibly durable. But is it the Earl Campbell syndrome is kicking in year four, where Earl just took too many hits too quickly?
Guys, it's starting to stick on you a little bit more.
Right. Just a little bit more.
Here's the thing. You can run the contact when you're young. But after about year three, year four, Skip, and you still run the contact, guess what happens? You don't run out of contact. Uh-huh.
Running the contacts hurts, man.
It does. Yeah.
Like, yes, it hurts. Does. It's like MMA fighters. Who wants to do, like they said after Conor got his Mega Millions against Floyd.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Dana White saying, who wants to get up and get hit in the face after you've made $100 million? Yeah. Now Zeke's got 50 in the bank, guaranteed. Yeah. Not in the bank yet, but it's guaranteed he'll get it. And maybe he wakes up in the morning and says, man, I don't know if I want to do that.
No, but Skip, if you're wired correctly, you see a lot of guys. You see Aaron Donald and you see they don't lose that desire and hunger. You want to prove that you're worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to hear Zeke get mad one day in one interview and just blow up and say, okay, that's it. It's over. I'm promising you, this weekend, you watch what happens this Sunday. Watch what I do. I've not heard any anger out of him whatsoever.
Here's the thing, though, Skip. You can have write all the checks you want to, but you better have that front five to be able to cash it for you.
I thought he did.
Yeah. and that offensive coordinator, too.
Because remember, the front five got their bags, too.
Yeah, all they got big bags.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you'll hear some anger soon, Skip. I know you're wanting it. No mercy. The Clippers beat the Thunder 90-88 last night thanks to Paul George's go-ahead three-pointer in the final 30 seconds against his former team. But Clipper fans still haven't gotten a chance to see what the PG-13 looks like since Leonard has sat out the past three games with a knee contusion, which may or may not be just the new code word for load management, which I'm hearing a lot from lately, and I just don't know how I feel about it. So we're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. What's going on, Chris, with Kawhi? What's going on?
Well, what I'm told is that the Clippers are fine with his load management. And when he met with them, when they recruited him, it was like, this is a part of what I do. And they were cool with it, you know? And part of it is they see how hard he works. Mm-hmm. Like, he's at practice, he's engaged, what I'm told. And then away from the team, he's with his group and they're doing game stuff, you know, working on his game, his conditioning, and whatever management of his body is necessary. But this, I think, is beyond load management.
I do.
I think this is load management is you miss one of the back-to-backs. This, I think, is legit. Now, I don't think it's a serious injury. But I think he was going to miss the New Orleans game. But to miss these last two is a legitimate bruise. And that leads me to my main point. My concern is not the load management. My concern is that for as big and strong, as tough as Kawhi Leonard is, he apparently is incredibly fragile, his body. If you look at his first four years of his career in San Antonio.
Agreed.
He averaged 63 games a year.
It was always something.
Right. And what they'll tell you there is that he felt like he had to be 100% to play. And if he wasn't, little nicks, bruise, whatever, he wouldn't play. Then he plays, in his 8 years, he's played more than 70 games twice. Then, of course, he has the injury against Golden State in the playoffs, plays the 9 games. Last year, you do load management. You only play 60 games, and you're still hobbled in the playoffs. Now, he was great through the playoffs, but he was hobbled. Mm-hmm. And now, here it is, you're load managing, and then you still come down with a knee bruise. So my concern, if I'm the Clippers, is at any moment, this guy's body might give. And so I've gotten to the point where I'm actually fine with his load management because I actually think he needs it.
Right.
But I'm concerned that his body may not be able to hold up.
Right.
But quick point of order. To my knowledge, no surgeries in his career. I don't know of a surgery. This and that and little things. And little of that, but not a surgery.
Right.
So just for perspective.
Right.
If I was Clippers, I would be worried long term because it looks like there's something that maybe there's something degenerative in their skill. Because like Chris says, okay, we understand that he's not going to play the front end of the back-to-back, or he's going to miss the back end of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. But to miss the beginning and the middle and the end, so there's three straight. Mm. After, like Chris said, he didn't play in the Worlds. He didn't do any of that. And here we are again, you know, nursing these injuries. Mm-hmm. Is this something that's long-term? That, okay, they could, he signed a 3-year deal, win a championship in the first 3 years. But is this something, is he going to have a 13, 14, 15-year career skip? It doesn't look like that. I just don't see that. And even with load management, he's missing time. He's missed a third of the games already.
It's good work if you can get it.
It's good work. That day, John. Y'all did load management on Monday and Tuesday. I see y'all Wednesday through Friday. Right.
Must be nice.
You can have Tuesday.
You give me Tuesday. Okay.
I'll take Wednesday. But to
put this thing to bed, I want to put this to bed. Mm. And I want to hear this no more. To be considered the best player in the world, you need to play.
I do agree.
You need to play. Mm. But you can see the best player in the world tonight at Staples. Mm. Oh, Goat James. I got a new special.
He's playing.
Goat L's on the menu. Just brought them over. Yeah. Goat meat. Ale. Goat meat. Good, real good.
People want it, I'm sure.
Irish brother.
Goat L's? They don't go together. It's like an oxymoron.
No, the goat and the ale made of goat meat like this here. You ain't never had no goat meat?
Completely lost.
You ain't never had no goat meat ale?
I've had goat cheese.
Goat ale?
You ain't never had no goat meat?
I don't know.
I use goat in this or these oil right here. You know, sometimes.
So now losers are welcome at your restaurant.
Yeah, I was several of them hot ale.
About to go out of business. The thunder came.
Dak kept me in business for the last 3 years. Mm. Dak kept me in business.
Oh,
so now I'm going to have to jump off Dak because a cowboy might be making a comeback or something.
It sounds like there's some wishful thinking coming from across the table because somebody wants Kawhi Leonard to go away quickly, right? Not that you're wishing injury upon him. You just want terminal load management, so to speak, where you're just not going to ever play, right?
Well, it doesn't look like he go play.
Okay, so if you told me this was an arthritic condition in his knee, but that's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing it's a contusion. So he got a knee bruise, and we know how
this
he
latest
is.
The latest one is a contusion.
Because he had a thigh bruise in San Antonio for 73 games.
So if he had a thigh bruise, missed 73, this knee could keep him down for the rest of the season.
Okay. So if you're the Clippers, would you have said no to this guy because he can be fragile?
No, you had to do the deal.
And beyond that, he's only locked up for 2 years, right? He had 2 years and an option for
good
a third.
Good point.
So he's got all the leverage. Okay. They have to do what he wants.
I think he also has all the wisdom because there's the other guy at Staples, the other
the
star,
goat.
the so-called, the phony goat.
The, you know, phony.
And LeBron James is now hell-bent to prove to the world that he is not the Wash King. He's doing hashtag revenge season.
Yeah, it is.
That he wants to show that he hasn't lost a single twitch of his quick twitch athleticism.
Told you got it back,
after
didn't
Kenny Smith said after opening night game against the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard made LeBron James look not athletic.
Hey, Kenny, Hey, Kenny, you want to amend that statement?
Mm.
You know, you can pull a Gordon Sermon.
Oh, I liked the dunk. Did you like the dunk?
We talked about it yesterday.
Okay,
don't talk about the dunk.
I think I just got interrupted.
Oh, my bad. You did. Go ahead.
LeBron James, I'm warning you, is on a dangerous early season path here because he's now 15th in this league, averaging 35 minutes a game in year 17. We're not even to Thanksgiving yet because he's hell-bent to show us I'll play every game. He says, if LeBron is healthy, LeBron's playing every game.
Right.
And it's obviously a message sent across the bow of the Clippers like, oh, you got a guy who load manages constantly. I'm not going to load manage. Just remember I said this because it's dangerous idea this is the wrong method. There's no method to this madness.
He went to Wakanda forever. Vibranium, baby.
You need it.
Here's the thing. We can't let Kawhi's fragility infect our thinking concerning other players. Whether it's LeBron or anybody else. The other players can play 75 to 80 games a year and through the playoffs. We can't let, what Kawhi's doing cannot become the norm.
Right.
Okay, it cannot become, oh, he's going to play 50-something games in the regular season, but he'll be ready for the playoffs,
right.
You know. So LeBron, like you said, he's averaging 34.8 minutes, but that's a career low. career. I'm sure he's relaxing during off days.
It's 15th in this league right now because everybody's load managing subtly across the board. 15th in the league?
I don't think. Look, his minutes are down. You can rest on off days. I mean, obviously they're practicing, but I'm sure they're taking it easy. And he had a full off season off more than ever. I just don't
shot
like
a good movie though.
Kawhi's an extreme to the other end, and I think Anthony Davis should be sitting out if that shoulder, like if he could sit out 3 weeks and get the shoulder straight, I'd be fine
it's
with
a
that.
Real injury.
But LeBron, no, I mean, we can't let this become, remember, I said this.
Just remember, when he pulls his groin on Christmas Day again, God forbid, I'm knocking on wood. I don't even want to hear it. But I'm just saying.
But are we going to say that? Is that going to be because he's playing 35 minutes every night?
I don't know.
It could just be an injury. Like, this load management, look, again, I think he's legitimately injured with the bone bruise or the knee bruise, but let's say he wasn't legitimately injured and he just wants to load manage and play 55 games a year. You then have to ask an ethical question of, is it even fair if one guy can just play 55 games, even though I'm healthy, and then be ready for the playoffs where everybody else is playing 80 games.
Point.
Like, if you're hurt, you should sit out. If you're not hurt, the league needs to be like, you got to play. Because remember in golf with the golfer who was injured and couldn't walk the course 10 years ago?
Yeah, the guy that had the circulation.
Norman, was that his name?
Yeah.
And they ruled, look, part of the game is walking the course because the fatigue kicks in and you have to overcome that. If he's
golf to basketball,
but that's
I'm
a good
just
point.
Saying,
it's
like,
not
that's,
the same.
Right, it's not fair if you're gonna play 30, 40, 50 games in the regular season. Everybody else playing 80.
That's what the goals. Okay. See, goals do that.
He's making his own.
I'm gonna go on record right now. Kawhi will be readier for May than LeBron will be. He just will.
Let's hope
they're both ready.
Jordan in low management.
Right.
He's ready.
Jordan played 82 games at 40 years old.
And my guy. Yep. Is the freakiest of nature.
You know, your guys played 82 one time.
There you go. Yeah.
He's always up around 76, though.
Yeah.
77, 78.
Look at all the minutes he got.
You know we're right about Kawhi.
So, no, I don't know you're right. He's been doing this his whole career. It's nothing new.
Look,
except now he's in the spotlight.
If he's legitimately hurt, I'm fine with it.
And you guys are gloating about a dunk over Bielitsa?
Oh,
really?
It was nasty.
Can we see it real quick? I gotta see it.
He caught him about it.
Oh,
my God. Why
not? The guy wants his gloat.
Is that not?
Gloat?
What?
Yeah, let's
see
it.
What?
Let's see it.
Come on.
I'm looking for it.
Bring us the dunk.
It doesn't matter who it was over.
Come on, dunk it over the 6'10 slow guy. Oh, and stare him down.
Yes.
Stare down poor Bielitsa.
Now the Nurkic one was
better. You're right. Nurkic, that wasn't one of the best.
Nurkic ain't been back since. You know Nurkic ain't been back since.
You guys are blowing about
that was
dunking
nasty.
Over a 6'10 guy.
Come on.
I don't care.
Really.
It's still awesome.
Bielitsa, he can't jump higher than I can jump.
If you're a foreign big man,
stay out of the way.
So you're saying he's ugly American now?
LeBron.
Well, you know who the Clippers big man is? Zubac.
Oh, he's gonna get Zubac.
I don't want him to get Zubac.
You know what? Big Z might just reject him.
What if?
Yeah. Oh, take it.
But you see, now when Hezonja blocked LeBron.
Mario Hezonja.
Yeah, when he blocked
LeBron. Right.
Oh, how could you? Just admit it.
Well, how could you?
No, you talking about just admit it. It's over.
Well, it was on that point.
He's coming back.
That was at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Big season.
All right, wow. Chris, always good to have you. Luka Doncic had himself a game against Skip Spurs last night, dropping 42 points, 11 rebounds, and 12 assists. In the win, the Slovenian joined LeBron James as the only two players to notch 40-point triple-doubles before turning 21 years old. This was Doncic's sixth triple-double of the season, which has helped Dallas to the fifth-best record in the loaded Western Conference right now. So, Shannon, has Luka already turned into a superstar?
He the real deal, Skip. He Holyfield. He the real deal. If the All-Star voting ended today, he and James Harden, I believe, will be the backcourt. And right now, they should be. He's playing unbelievable. James Harden is averaging about 40. And this, Skip, he's fourth in scoring, third in assists, and 10th in rebounding. He leads the league in triple-double with 6 in 13 games. He's the closest thing we've seen to Larry Bird. Since Larry Bird. People don't realize, Skip, Larry Bird was 24-10-6 for a career. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists for a career. He's the closest thing we've seen to that. He real deal, Skip Bayless. I know he didn't do that against Spurs. No, but not with you. DeJounte Murray, that defensive stopper. Mm. Oh, I know. What about that? And DeRozan and Brian Ford? Whoa. Time out. I know good D well. Mm-hmm. He do that to get 42-point triple-double. Only he and Bron James. Skip, look. You at the age of 20, you get a triple-double, you get 20 points, 10 rebounds, 11, mm-hmm. 12 assists. That's one thing. Mm. You do this at 40, get 40? Mm. Yeah, you real. He the real deal, Skip Bayless. He for real. And you have to deal with it. Mm. You the deal with it. I don't know what else to tell you, but somebody, he was trouble dealing with this young man for the next 15 years because he can do it all. Mm. He can score. He can play with his back to the basket. He can shoot. He can handle it. He's fundamentally sound. Mm. And that's what we see from a lot of European skips. Mm. They are fundamentally sound. Mm. Can handle the ball. That's step back three. Step back three is next to James Harden because he be stepping back letting that thing go from 28. Oh. You saw it last night against you.
Tell me when you're finished because I'm getting bored.
Still going.
I mean, you watch every last one of the Spurs game. Mm-hmm. You see that last night what he did to y'all? Mm-hmm. He did that on DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray is on a minutes pitch count where he can't play many minutes because Pop won't let him because he's coming off ACL reconstruction.
The minutes that he did play, he got cooked.
It's Bryn Forbes, and they got the switch onto Bryn Forbes, and Doncic made a rare three. He does have a little clutchness to him, but he made a rare three. He's now shooting 31% from the three-point line. That ranks 137th in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Yet, he's tied for fourth in three-point attempts.
Oh, wow.
So through 13 games, he's already missed 81 threes, but he made one against my Spurs, who right now are an eyesore to watch because they did this last year. Last year at this time, they went to Minnesota and lost by 40 points. Mm-hmm. They will round back into shape as DeJounte Murray rounds into shape.
No, they won't.
They did last year, and they took Denver to the last shot of Game 7.
Skip, do you know the West is better this year? Mm-hmm. The West is even better.
Okay, but this is about Luka Doncic. I said before his draft, just watching clips on the internet, I loved his offensive artistry. I love his passing creativity because mm-hmm. he does have that rare gift of passing feel for the game. He's got the knack, the vision, the anticipation, and the unselfishness to pass the basketball. And I said I was pretty sure he would be better than Trae Young because I saw every dribble of Trae Young's at the University of Oklahoma, and I just couldn't see enough because he's just too little.
Skip, he's doing big things, though. Now, Trae Young's still balling. Now, he might not be as good as Luka.
Here's the problem I have with both of them.
Okay.
Neither one of them plays a lick of defense. And you just offended me, maybe the worst you've ever offended me on this show. You actually put Luka Doncic in the same breath with the great Larry Bird.
Yeah, you did.
Larry Bird could defend when he needed to defend, and he could disrupt at all times on defense. Luka cannot do either one.
Skip, they put Larry Bird on the worst offensive weapon. Mm. The worst offensive player for the opponent.
Steal the ball.
Yeah.
Bird steals the ball.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Zeke, you threw it right to him.
Yeah.
But anyway, Skip.
What happened when the Lakers visited Dallas on that fateful Friday night 2-3 weeks ago, whenever it was? Do you remember this game?
Yeah.
The post-game theme in the Laker locker room was, whoever Doncic was covering, we fed him.
Ooh.
If it was LeBron, we fed LeBron. If it was KCP, he got the ball and he got to shoot it. And what happened at the end of the game? Dwight Howard, of all people, smashed him upside the head a little bit, just put him in his place, and Luka just checked out. Mm. He checked out of the rest of
that
game.
Man, it's not me that bad at checking out.
He gave him a little shot to the head, and that was the end of that.
Stop.
Because he does not have that dog in him. He doesn't have that killer instinct in him. I'm sorry.
You keep on talking about we pick and roll. They was talking about LeBron, and they kept putting LeBron in him. But that ain't no slouch. Mm. They could get against LeBron.
It was anybody, whoever's on. Danny Green, it's your turn.
Stop it, Skip.
Seriously, it was. That's what they all talked about in the locker room after the game.
We've been so
Kyle Kuzma said, our theme of the night was whoever Doncic is covering, go to him.
Skip, you know that guy's the closest thing to Bird. Now, I ain't say he's Larry Bird. He got a ways to go. Skip.
Right now, Luka Doncic ranks in defensive win shares 252nd.
Skip, if they had a defensive win share with Bird,
he couldn't guard you.
Skip.
He couldn't.
Skip.
You're no knees self.
Let me ask you a question. Where is James Harden ranked?
I don't care. We're talking about Luka Doncic.
But I'm saying, Skip.
And by the way, James Harden has taken it up to another offensive level. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I'm not sure Luka Doncic has taken it to a level we've never seen.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not seeing.
Skip, here's the thing. Sports is about being a liability or an asset.
Okay.
And the thing for
these
people,
you said twice today. Did you read that last night?
No, that's me.
Okay. All right.
And people are like, well, Shannon Sharpe, you don't read. Shannon doesn't do a whole lot of blocking, but I was more of an asset in the passing game than I was a liability in the running
game.
Okay. So Luka Doncic, okay, he might not be. He might be 259 out of 400 players. But look at that offensive repertoire.
Look at him at the free throw line, shall we? He's down there last year in LeBron territory. His first year in the league, he shot 71%. And one night against my Spurs last year, it was March the 12th, he shot 1 for 9 from the free throw line. That's even worse than LeBron's ever. LeBron's never had a 1 for 9 night. Yeah. Listen, no superstar can be 1 for 9 from the free throw line. Jordan was never even thought about being 1 for 9. Larry Bird, are you kidding
me? Some things you just accept.
I think the most Larry ever missed in a game was 2 free throws.
Skip Bayless, you think I'm going to throw, do you actually think I would throw Nicole Murphy out of bed for eating cookies? Some things you just accept. That man is so talented with his offensive game, his scoring, his assists, his rebounding. I don't care about no free throws. I don't care if he shot 10% from the 3-point line. So, baby, hey, you need another bag? I run the target right quick and get you 2 more bags.
I doubt that.
Yes, I would. Yeah. Something you accept.
I would throw Nicole out of my bed.
I would.
Cookies? You can eat rice cakes in my bed, but you can't eat cookies.
You call me.
Rice cakes.
When you want to throw, I call your boy.
No.
I'm up all time of night.
She comes up a good amount on this show, too.
Yeah, okay. I
know. No cookies for anyone.
I don't know what happened.
You trying? Okay.
Nope.
Shannon.
Yes.
31% from the 3-point
line. Skip, he's not efficient.
71% from the free throw line.
That's good.
That's not superstar numbers.
Yes, it is.
Sorry.
Hold on. Stop it. Now, you going to nitpick.
I'm nitpicking.
Skip, the man is fourth in scoring.
Defensive liability.
He's third in assists. You talk about a trip, but hold on. He might do what Russ did for the past 3 years. So if he does that, he's not a superstar?
Russ has got that dog in him. And he's got it in Houston.
What? Hold on.
It's working.
Hold on. What is Russ shooting from the 3-point line?
It doesn't matter. Well, it really doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
You know, he's been making big ones for them, like key ones.
No. James Harden scored 59. James Harden scored 49. James Harden scored 47. Look, is the difference.
Luke is fun to watch. I will give
he
you that.
He is fun to watch. Yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Skip, ain't no denying it.
I just shot holes.
No, you ain't shot no holes.
Yeah,
but
big
Larry
holes.
Bird, I mean,
I said he's the closest thing to Larry. But Skip, this guy's in his second year now.
I'm close to Larry, too. I'm white.
That's it. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.